Blog Talk Radio.
You are about to be entertained by the eighth, the young man who has become a legend in his own time.
You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
It's the Ron Kelly Show.
So don't get it twisted. Get it twisted.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome. It's the Ron Kelly Show, and it's on blogtalkradio.com, theronkellyshow.com. Thank you so much, everybody, for joining me this afternoon, and it seems that Hillary Clinton can't handle the truth either, but we'll get to that in just a few minutes, and also Trump's delusional insistence that there was some type of voter fraud during the election. You know, the man just cannot accept that he did not win the popular vote. We'll talk about that. And also the devastation of the hurricane Irma was just, you know, you just look at the photos and I guess seeing it up close, it's probably even more horrific, but you get a little bit of a sense of what happened. And let me start with this Irma, with the Irma, you know, the Harvey is just distant memory right now, because Irma's devastation was so much more powerful, it seems, that, Folks in down in Florida and the Keys are just reeling from the horrific, just the powerful destruction of their homes. 25% of homes have been destroyed in the Florida Keys. 25% of houses, and some Florida Keys residents returned to their homes today. There are 15 million Floridians who are learning when they'll get their power back, and all the customers who lost electricity on the eastern side of the state will have the power restored by the end of this weekend. So today being Tuesday the 12th, so you're looking at the 16th to 17th, 5 or 6 days from now, Florida Power and Light, the major power supplier down there, has said today. One of the officials of the company said that at a Broward County news conference, that 790,000 customers in that county who lost power, half of them, or 330,000 of them, had their electricity restored by today. Now, the company is focusing its efforts first on schools and hospitals and other critical infrastructure. And then, you know, of course, gas stations and restaurants will be next on the list. Customers on the west coast of Florida, where Irma made its final landfall, will have power restored by September 22nd. I mean, unbelievable. That's 10 days from now. So those poor folks on the west coast of Florida, where Hurricane Irma made an impact, won't have their power restored until the 22nd of September. That's 11 days from now. Just unbelievable. And, I watched some video today, and folks were on their way back. They were going back to the Keys. And it's just, for a lot of them, there's no reason for them to even go back. I mean, besides just to take a look and salvage maybe whatever it is they can, because the devastation is just unbelievable. Just unbelievable. And, you know, it's, we'll get to all that happened with Irma. The death toll is rising slightly, and it's just unbelievable. Unbelievable what has happened to the folks down there in Florida, many of whom without power, whose homes have been completely destroyed, will have to sit in their homes with 100-degree heat and high humidity. You know, and, you know, the mosquitoes really thrive during these high water events, and so it must just be, you know, it's. The fact that your house has been badly damaged or destroyed, and then you have a heat, and I mean, it's just so many, you know, there's just so many things bundled into this. And one of the other things that, you know, tragedy always brings more tragedy. And one of the other things that's going on is the looting, which happens a lot during weather events. And there are folks who are down in Miami who are breaking into stores. I mean, just disgusting that people would try to take advantage of the situation in Miami, for example, which was hit hard by Hurricane Irma, and many of the downtown areas are flooded now. So there are those folks who are down there, opportunists, for lack of a better word, who are taking advantage of the situation, being that the downtown areas have been abandoned. There are people taking advantage of the situation by looting. It's just disgusting that people would go out and do this type of thing. But this is the world we live in today. This is America 2017. And we'll talk a little bit more about Irma as the situation progresses. But the total devastation in some areas. The Keys have been obliterated by Hurricane Irma. And you know, and another thing too about all of this is that there will be more talk about climate change. I saw a funny video of two garbage cans, and it looked like the garbage cans were fleeing the scene. They were actually being blown away by the wind. And it was two garbage cans, and one of them, the caption was that it was Rush Limbaugh, who I actually listen to and I respect a lot, and has always been a climate change denier. And the caption said, "Here's Rush Limbaugh and a friend bailing out on the on the hurricane." It was two garbage cans. It was very funny. Maybe you look it up on YouTube if you care. I thought it was really funny. And Mr. Limbaugh didn't take too I don't like to talk about him, but he didn't take too kindly to the assertion that he was a garbage can. But anyway, we'll talk about that. We've got a great show lined up for you. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about Hillary Clinton. What happened? Hillary's memoir is out now. 500 pages, I understand, of denials. And, you know, I will get into Hillary in just a couple minutes. We'll get to Hillary. And we'll also talk about Donald Trump and his voter fraud commission and his nonsensical, delusional assertion of his that there was voter fraud. I mean, you won. Give it a rest. You won. Whether you run by the popular vote, if you run won by the if you won by the popular vote, you won by the electoral college. I mean, what difference does it make? You won. You know, Mr. Trump, in all his bombacity, wants to prove to the world that he's the best thing since sliced bread. So he created this commission, this White House Voter Fraud Commission. And we'll get to that as well. And we'll talk about Hillary's memoirs. We got a great show lined up for you this afternoon, right here on the Ron Kelly Show. You know, you can tweet me. Finally, I got more followers than people are following, which is a miracle with Twitter. Because I think there's only maybe 10% of all the people who are on Twitter, maybe 10% of them have more followers than people they follow. So it's a rare achievement for someone to have more followers than people they follow. So I'm grateful to the folks who follow the Ron Kelly Show. It's R. Kelly Radio. If you you can go on over there and you can follow me on Twitter. I put up a poll incidentally about President Trump versus President Obama. It's highly unlikely, but a scenario where President Trump's primary opponent would be former President Obama in 2020. Now, we all know that President Obama's not going to run again, but it's just a scenario. And I put up a poll of how many would vote for Trump, or how many of you would vote for Obama 3. And I put the poll up there. So just go on over to the R. Kelly Radio. You can check it out. Also, with Facebook, I'm on the Ron Kelly Show on Facebook. 5,000 plus followers on the Facebook page. Thank you very much, everyone who engages me with the Ron Kelly Show on Facebook. I appreciate everyone who has check me out. It's the Ron Kelly Show on Facebook. There's the show page, the official show page It's the official show page for the Ron Kelly Show. So thank you so much, everybody, who has taken part. 5,189 followers, actually, on the Ron Kelly Show Facebook page. So thank you, everybody, for your for engaging me on the Ron Kelly Show Facebook page. And you can go there anytime, and you can post a message. You can. There's a lot you can do there. Watch some of my videos, some of the things I post, which are kind of comical. And so you can go there, and you can partake of the Ron Kelly Show. I just want to give a shout out to my people over at well, actually, what I really would like to say, because I'm a little flummoxed here, is that this portion of the Ron Kelly Show is brought to you by Media Graphics. Let me get it together. Get it together, Ron. This portion of the Ron Kelly Show is brought to you by Media Graphics. Smart posters, smart banners, video and digital displays, anything you want for your promotional needs, Media Graphics can help you out. Just give them a call at 973-777-2202. That's 973-777-2202. You can go to their website. It's mediagraphics.net. That's mediagraphics.net. And the email is media55@aol.com. That's media55@aol.com. All right, everybody. Thanks so much for joining me. Got a lot to talk about. Hillary's book is finally out. And Hillary lost. Let me start with this. Hillary lost because Hillary lost. I mean, let's just keep it 100 here. Were there some things that contributed to her losing? Yeah, absolutely. There were some things that contributed to Hillary losing. Now, Hillary just accused Trump. She's made little secret that she blames lots and lots of things on she claimed she didn't do on her 2016 loss. And she's right now engaged in a publicity tour for her just released book where she relitigates many of them. She just made her most serious claim to date. Now, in an interview today with USA Today's Susan Page, it was published late last night. Susan Page asked Clinton whether she thought Trump and people connected with Trump colluded with Russia. And Clinton broke with many her party by offering a pretty unvarnished answer. And she says, yes, there was certainly communication and certainly what she says, and I quote, certainly there certainly was communication. There certainly was an understanding of some sort, Clinton says at first, choosing her words carefully. Now, she says she's convinced of it. So, but here's the thing. Even if Trump had anything to do with her losing, it wasn't enough, you know, to sink her campaign. Now, Hillary sunk her own campaign. Let me just play this. This is a clip from Hillary, and she's talking about Trump and everything else that happened, the WikiLeaks and what have you. Let me just listen to this soundbite here. It's just a couple minutes of Hillary on what happened with her campaign. Check this out.
It wasn't a perfect campaign. There is no such thing. But I was on the way to winning until the combination of Jim Comey's letter on October 28th and Russian WikiLeaks raised doubts in the minds of people who were inclined to vote for me but got scared off. And the evidence for that intervening event is, I think, compelling, persuasive. And so we overcame a lot in the campaign. We overcame an enormous barrage of negativity, of false equivalency, and so much else. But as Nate Silver, who doesn't work for me, he's an independent analyst, but one considered to be very reliable, has concluded, if the election had been on October 27th, I'd be your president. And it wasn't. It was on October 28th, and there was just a lot of funny business going on around that. And ask yourself this. Within an hour or two of the Hollywood Access tape being made public, the Russian theft of John Podesta's emails hit WikiLeaks. What a coincidence. So, you just can't make this stuff up. So, did we make mistakes? Of course we did. Did I make mistakes? Oh my gosh, yes, you'll read my confession and my request for absolution.
Yes, you did, Hillary. You did. You made a lot of mistakes. That was a clip from Hillary Clinton talking about the what happened. In China, her book is, incidentally, What Happened. What happened is Hillary was, I watched Hillary, as a political, I watched the campaign. Hillary, Trump wasn't much more engaging than Hillary. Let me just put that out there. She wasn't any more engaging. She wasn't any less engaging than Trump was, but, physically. But Hillary, the problem with Hillary is just that her message just didn't resonate with anybody. And she talked about that in an interview with Jane Pauley, the former Today Show host. She's now hosts the show on CBS. And I was watching that interview Sunday morning where Hillary was talking about what happened with the campaign. Hillary just, you lost because your message didn't resonate with anybody. See, Hillary, John Podesta, whoever it was that was advising her, all the people who were telling her what to do, they dropped the ball. And Hillary really didn't have much of a message at all. This is what happened. With Comey, did some of the things, if Trump did actually collude with the Russians, did it affect your campaign? Yes. Did the WikiLeaks, the WikiLeaks hack of the DNC, did that hurt her campaign? Yes. But did it cause her to lose? Was it the single most important, factor in her losing? Of course not. You see, Hillary lost because her message didn't resonate. Let's look at Trump's campaign, for example. Now, Trump did everything wrong. He did everything wrong. He shot himself in the foot so much that, he didn't have a foot by the end of the campaign. But he still won because his message resonated with folks. You see, people are not, America is not the decent society that everybody thinks it is. America is not the, give us your tired, you're poor, you're huddled masses yearning to be free. That's not America anymore. America is like we have to look out for ourselves. And the hard truths that Trump was laying out, people embraced. Well, certain people embraced, whatever the case may be, but it was embraced by a lot of people, enough so that he won many of the traditional areas that the Democrats have always won. Some of Pennsylvania and some of these states that they Democrats have owned for years. Trump won. So this nonsense, that Hillary is blaming Trump for her downfall, I just don't buy it. I really don't buy it. I do think that Hillary, as she said, and she's admitted, and she said in her book, I've read some excerpts from her book, and she has admitted that, yes, she did make some mistakes. Yes, she did. Calling them the deplorables. That was a big mistake. Saying that she would put the coal miners out of business, that was another big mistake that she couldn't recover from. We'll take a quick break, right? And we'll talk about the underbelly of America. We'll talk about that when we come back in just a moment. This is the Ron Kelly Show, and it's on blogtalkradio.com.
The Ron Kelly Show. And on the web, theronkellyshow.com.
Oh no, I'm in charge of our 10-year class reunion and don't know where to begin. Don't let this happen to you. For your next event, wedding, anniversary, class reunion, or just need to promote your business, Burkett Promotions has you covered.
BurkettPromotions.com.
Over 200 custom-made products USA made, along with personalized imprints and logos.
BurkettPromotions.com.
Burkett Promotions does it all. Big or small, we can fit your budget.
BurkettPromotions.com.
Need your event to stand out with that personalized touch? Pens, pencils, t-shirts? Go to BurkettPromotions.com.
BurkettPromotions.com.
Mention the Ron Kelly Show and receive an additional 10% off an already great prize.
Thanks to Burkett Promotions, my event was a success.
BurkettPromotions.com. B-I-R-K-E-T-T Promotions.com.
BurkettPromotions.com.
A business you can trust. A member of the Better Business Bureau, New Jersey. A-plus rating.
Some statistics are surprising. Some are unbelievable. And some are simply unacceptable. Right now, nearly 30% of U.S. students aren't finishing high school. Nearly 30%. And that's the average. In many places, it's even higher than that. And fixing it is a responsibility that we all share. This is President Obama, and I urge everyone, not just parents, but friends and neighbors and family members, to take responsibility for encouraging the high school students in your communities, to support them, challenge them, push them a little, and do whatever it takes to help them make it through. Because this is one statistic we simply can't afford to ignore.
You can do your part by going to boostup.org and sending an email, a text message, or even a wake-up call to a student at risk of dropping out. Go to boostup.org and provide the boost that's needed to make it to graduation. A message from the U.S. Army and the Ad Council.
Broadcasting to the world.
Hello.
It's the Ron Kelly Show.
Yeah, yeah.
The news you want.
Is the perception still that a black man with a gun is a criminal?
With the topics you need.
Marching might have been good for back in the day, but what kind of effectiveness is marching have on society today?
Ron Kelly.
Black males 18 to 24 years old have the highest homicide offending rate.
It's the Ron Kelly Show.
So don't get it twisted. Don't get it twisted.
That's right. Don't get it twisted. It's the Ron Kelly Show. We are back. It's the Ron Kelly Show. And it's on blogtalkradio.com. And on the web, it's theronkellyshow.com. Just about 23 minutes past the hour, new time, 6 p.m. Tuesday evening, 6 p.m. right here on blogtalkradio.com. And hopefully somewhere else very soon. So thank everybody for joining me this afternoon, everybody. You can go to my Facebook page and check me out over there. It's Facebook. It's the Ron Kelly Show on Facebook. You just punch that into the search engine and I'll pop up. And also on Twitter, it's R. Kelly Radio. Actually, R. Kelly Radio on Twitter. Congratulations to me. I have more followers than people I'm following, which is a Herculean feat on Twitter. I appreciate the folks who are following the Ron Kelly Show on Twitter, and would like to see many, many more folks, good folks like yourself who are concerned about what's going on in the world. So you can go on over there. If you live in the Twitterdom, you can just follow the Ron Kelly Show. The phone number here is 646-668-2838. That's 646-668-2838. If you get it. Call in with your opinion about Hillary and what happened, you know. And see, what happened, is that Trump tapped into the anger, the seething anger of folks who live in this country who felt like they were left behind. There are lots of people in this country who got tired of reading about these millionaires and billionaires and folks who are making money hand over fist and they felt like they were left behind, which they were. Those folks actually were left behind. Nobody paid attention to those folks. It was always about the middle class, the middle class, middle class. And those folks, the Walmart workers and the folks, gas station attendants and the forgotten economy or the forgotten workers, I should say, the folks who forklift drivers worked in factories, minimum wage workers, and those making $10, $11, $12 an hour, all those people are not focused on in the elections. They're not focused on. So those people were angry. Those folks were angry. They were very angry, and it showed. It showed in the election. It showed in the election. And see, and what happened was Trump tapped into those people. See, because Hillary and Hillary's team forgot about those folks. Hillary's team forgot about those folks. And there's a lot of them. The forgotten class. The forgotten class. Hillary's people forgot about those folks, but Trump tapped into those people. Trump tapped into those folks who don't want, you know, who applaud the DACA decision that Trump recently made last week. People who there are lots of people who want the Muslim ban. People who want Syrians to come here, which Hillary said that she would let 100,000 Syrians. There's a lot of people there are a lot of folks who are America first. And Hillary's campaign forgot about those people, didn't address those people. And she made some big mistakes by calling these deplorables, you know. And it made her sound elitist in a way, having these wealthy entertainers, LeBron James and Katy Perry, and all these people, Bruce Springsteen. I was insulted by all that, to tell you the truth, actually. I was insulted by that. I mean, what is your message? And that's what a lot of people were asking. What was Hillary's message? So this assertion that Trump and the Russians, I mean, did they affect her campaign? Sure. Did it hurt her that Comey came out and said it's not over yet? Sure, it hurt her. But look at all the things that Trump did that should have sank his campaign or would have sunk it under any other circumstance. But see, but the people who voted for Trump didn't care. They were voting their pocketbook. They were voting new ideas. They were voting for a change. And Hillary didn't offer change. Hillary offered more of the same. And I like Hillary, don't get me wrong. But she sunk her. I think that if there were 8 to 10 things that stopped her from becoming president of the United States, I think the biggest problem was Hillary. Not the Russians, not the WikiLeaks, not the DNC hack, not Donna Brazile. None of those things was the biggest problem. Hillary herself was the biggest, her worst enemy, and this is what happened. This is what happened. This is how it went down for Hillary. She sunk her own campaign. She sunk her own campaign. Glad to have you here this afternoon, everybody. It's the Ron Kelly Show here on blogtalkradio.com, just half past the hour, halfway through to 7 p.m. Glad to have you folks here with me this evening on the Ron Kelly Show. Follow me on Twitter, R. Kelly Radio, and you can go to my Facebook page, the Ron Kelly Show. So Trump's voting commission held a meeting today, looking into voter fraud. This fraudulent assertion by Trump that, I mean, talk about megalomaniac and talk about someone who is a total narcissist who can't basically believe that he didn't win the popular vote, and he's trying to prove it with his nonsensical assertion that there was some type of voter fraud, and the 3 million people who voted for Hillary over him were illegals. I mean, can you imagine a million people, not even 1,000 people, never mind a million and 3 million? It's the assertion is just, it's just beyond comprehension. Now, there was a hearing by Trump's commission today looking into voter fraud. And what happened was the commission itself was exposed during the second meeting that actually took place today in Manchester, New Hampshire. Now, a couple of days ago, the panel's co-chairman, who was the Secretary of State of Kansas, Chris Kobach, wrote a column in Breitbart News claiming that there was proof of enough voter fraud in New Hampshire last November to possibly have influenced the outcome of a Senate race. Really? Now, that did not sit well with another commission member, New Hampshire's Secretary of State, Democrat Bill Gardner, who happened to be the host of Tuesday's commission meeting. Now, Mr. Bill was upset about this column in Breitbart News because it's a false narrative. And now, this is a perfect example of fake news, if anybody wants to talk about fake news. Kobach's column caused a problem by questioning whether last year's election was real and valid. Now, the election he's talking about was a Senate election that took place in New Hampshire. Now, I don't have the information here in front of me, but it had to be that the Democrat won, because if the had a Republican won, we probably wouldn't have heard anything about voter fraud. But a Democrat won the Senate race, and this is why Chris Kobach wrote this column in Breitbart. And see, and this is the whole thing that, you know, this is an effort by Trump and some of the Trumpettes to muddy the water in regards to voter the legality or the security of the voting apparatus in here in the United States of America. That's what this is. See, this isn't about, this commission, I think they just know that they're not going to find anything. They're not going to find anything because there's nothing to find. This is an effort by Trump. See, this was stretched all the way into 2020. That's what's going to happen here. If Trump is still alive, I mean, he's 71 years old. I think he's turned 72 this year, and he'll be 75 years old by the time another election rolls around. So if he's still healthy enough to run, he wants to cause confusion, and he wants to cause harm to the voter confidence here in the United States of America by this crazy assertion that people were voting, that millions of people voted illegally, and which is just outrageous. I mean, a script writer couldn't even make this up. But this isn't about finding anything. I mean, you won. Why would you even create a commission to find out? There's no evidence at all that there was any type of voter fraud during the presidential election last year. There's no evidence. I mean, did a couple people, maybe a handful of people, get made? I mean, I'm not saying that every one of the 120 million plus people who voted for Clinton and Trump, was every one of them properly documented? Probably, maybe not. Because, you know, some people do fall between the cracks, but that had to be one hell of a crack for 3 million people to fall through it. It would have to be a Grand Canyon. So this is just, you know, Trumpism at its finest. And this isn't about 2017. This is about 2020 and the confusion and the loss of confidence that folks will have. You know, this is just a plague for 2020. Because you're an elected official. Why would you even say something like that? Why would you say that you know, why would you say something like that? Why would you say something like that? So this incident between Kobach and Gardner is one of the main problems the panel faces, you know, as it tries to find ways to get more people to have confidence in the election process, election system here in the United States of America. Another problem with the commission's work, and I said this earlier, that it was created by Trump's nonsensical claim that 3 to 5 million people voted legal. I mean, come on, 3 to 5 million people. When I went to the voting booth when I voted in the election, the general election for president last year, and every time I go to the voting booth, the place I voted right on the corner from where I live, right up the street. And every time I go in there, although those people have seen me in there before, they ask me for ID. I got to prove who I am. You know, and they go to the voter registration, but it's not even a computer. It's in a book. And they go and they find me in that book, and then they authorize me to go in and place my vote for whoever I'm voting for. So this commission is a sham. And the 12-member panel is stacked with people who believe Trump's nonsense. And just, you know, because it's not just about, you know, it's not just about affecting the confidence folks have in the voter system of the United States of America, but it's about, you know, restricting certain people from voting, to raise the bar and for folks to have more hurdles to jump over when it comes to voting. You know, it's the perfect setup. Now, Vice President Mike Pence is the commission chairperson? I mean, oh my God. Now, the commission, on Tuesday, there was a meeting today, and they heard from a couple witnesses. You know, they did say that voter data is limited and often incomplete, and it's difficult to know what accounts for the drop in participation in the U.S. elections since the 60s. I'll tell you what accounts for the drop is, because what people have seen. Folks get in there and they with these highbrow, you know, soaring speeches, and they get in there and they don't do anything. Now, some members, some commission members have said that people don't vote because they think the system is rigged. I mean, why do they think the system is rigged? Because people have been saying that Trump and his cronies. Some people just wasn't interested. They just didn't bother. That's basically what it was. Some people just didn't care, and that happens, voter apathy. It happens in all, you know, elections, from a council person all the way up to the president. But still, Kobach and Trump cronies argue that voter fraud is a problem. Now, they heard from some witnesses, probably plants, who said that they conducted studies. I mean, what studies? Oh, man. But studies that show that there are lots of cases of people who voted more than once, or non-citizens, folks who are illegal aliens, casting ballots. So how the hell can an illegal alien cast a ballot? What you have to go through when you go into that voting facility. Now, there's a difference between voter fraud. I mean, voter fraud would have to be millions and millions and millions of people voting illegally in order for to get another candidate to win. And it's just unbelievable. So Trump's commission has been set up to raise the bar, and for black and brown and poor folks who don't have the facilities that other people do, this is designed to keep them out of the booths in 20, 2020, because Trump knows that, you know, he lost the popular vote. Everybody didn't vote for him. Hillary won the election. If it was a straight up election with no electoral college, Hillary would be the president right now. And Trump knows that. He knows he's vulnerable. He knows that his poll numbers are down. He has the worst polling numbers of a sitting president in the history. I think the only person that was worse than him or was close to being as worse as he is George W. Bush. Okay. Right, so we'll take a quick break and we'll come back and we'll talk about Black Lives Matter and some of the stuff that's going on in this country in regards to that. And the fraud that's being perpetrated on black folk by some of these so-called civil rights leaders. We'll take a break. We'll come right back. 646-668-2838. That's 646-668-2838. It's the Ron Kelly Show, and it's on blogtalkradio.com.
We'll be back with more of the Ron Kelly Show after this.
So glad we left that stupid party.
No joke.
Hey, baby, are you an overdue library book? Because you got fine written all over you.
Oh, barf. What about that girl with a hoop earring?
Ridiculous. When she was dancing...
Megan, on... look out! Look out!
Oh, my God, Becky. Becky, are you okay?
My arm. I think it's broken.
Can you bend it?
It's already bent. In the wrong direction.
I can't believe this. I'm so sorry. I only had a few drinks. I was just buzzed.
Really? Just buzzed?
Yeah, I swear.
Well, in that case, my arm is fine. Ah, that's better.
You're really okay? You're serious, Becky?
No, genius. I'm not serious.
Ow! My arm! It hurts!
Buzzed driving. Maybe we should stop acting like it's no big deal. Buzzed driving is drunk driving. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, the Ad Council, and this station.
Take a little shortbread, fudgy nut bars. How many treats? Take a little shortbread, fudgy nut bars. How many treats in the cookie jar? One.
Dad, you're supposed to jump over the rope.
One more time.
The smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life. Take time to be a dad today. Learn more at 1-877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov.
Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
The Ron Kelly Show. And on the web, theronkellyshow.com.
All right, we're back. It's the Ron Kelly Show. There's about 15 minutes left, 15 minutes before the hour, right here on the Ron Kelly Show. It's our new time, 6 p.m. Tell a friend, 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. Give everybody a chance to get home and where you can check out the Ron Kelly Show in the comfort of your own house. It's Ron Kelly Show, and it's on blogtalkradio.com. Go to Twitter. It's Ron Kelly Radio. Follow me on Twitter. Lots of interesting things I post there. And you can also like my Facebook page, and you can, you know, check me out there, leave a message, you know, read some of the interesting things I post there. And on Instagram, it's Real R. Kelly 1. That's Real R. Kelly 1 on Instagram. All right, everybody, just about 15 minutes before the hour, it's the Ron Kelly Show. Glad, so glad to have you folks here today on a Tuesday. It's September 12th, 2017, one day past the 16th anniversary of the 9/11 terrorist attack on the World Trade Center. I remember vividly the what happened. As a matter of fact, I interviewed someone on a radio show years back who was actually in there, but they were, thankfully, they were below the point where the plane went in, because anyone who was in that tower above where the plane went in was their ticket was punched. You know, I don't mean to sound so cavalier about it, but anybody who was in that tower above where the plane went in were not going to be able to escape, and all those folks unfortunately perished with the building when they both collapsed. You know, such a sad thing. I remember the situation there. And you know, when there's a terror attack, there's something happened, there's an event, there's a national, when there's a weather event and some of these things that happen, unfortunately, that's the only time we forget about black and white. We forget about Democrat and Republican, liberal, right winger, Aryan Nation. We forget about those things. We forget about when there's a disaster. Unfortunately, these disasters wipe away race, ethnicity, religious beliefs. All of that stuff goes, in the toilet when there's a disaster. So folks who were being saved by other folks didn't care if they were white or black. If you're standing on top of your car and there's tons of water swirling around you, you don't care who saves you. You can be black, white, Jew, Protestant, Catholic, right wing, left wing, liberal, progressive. You didn't care. So it's unfortunate that the only time that that race and creed and religion goes out the window is when there's a disaster, unfortunately. But that's the way it goes. You know, fraud is being perpetrated. Let me get with this. There's fraud being perpetrated on black folk in this country. I believe that. There's a fraud being perpetrated on black folk by other black folk. You see, there's so much. I listen to some of the radio shows of African Americans, the Reverend Al, certain people, Jesse Jackson. I mean, the Reverend Al Sharpton. I respect the Reverend Al Sharpton and what he's done. I mean, he spent those 3 months in a prison in Puerto Rico, trying to help the folks. When Vieques, when the Navy was using a part of the Puerto Rican island to bomb, use for bomb training, dropping bombs on this part of the island, Vieques. And Reverend Al Sharpton went to prison for that. I mean, he's been an advocate for years in the black community. But a fraud is being perpetrated on black folk. And this blame game, that goes on, that keeps our people in bondage. The blame game. Oh, it's the white man's fault that I can't get this. Or I can't get that. It's the white man's fault. It's white man's fault I can't make it. It's white man's fault I don't have a job. I don't have a house, a car, a bank account. It's white man's fault. And I can admit readily that there are mechanisms in place that hamper black folks who are really out there who are trying. There are mechanisms in place, glass ceilings, you name it. There are things that are there that hinder black folks from making it. When I say hinder, I don't say stop. I say hinder, because you see, racism only matters when with folks who have power, because you don't care if. Like if there's a bum on the street and he's white and he's a racist, I mean, who cares? Because he has no power. See, racism only matters when there's power behind it. So nobody cares if an old bum or if an old drunk is a racist, but they care if a millionaire real estate owner is a racist. See, because if he's a racist, he can actually affect your life. A bum on the street who is a racist cannot affect your life. If a person that you're working for is racist, that can affect your life, because you'll never be able to get anywhere because that person is racist, versus somebody who the toll taker in the Holland Tunnel, for example, is racist. I mean, so what? I got easy pass. I don't even have to talk to that person. So racism only matters when there's power behind it. Like police, for example. Driving while black in some of these things. It only matters when the person has the power to affect your life. But now we have Reverend Al Sharpton and some folks who, and again, I respect Reverend Al Sharpton, but But there are folks who are perpetuating a fraud on black folks in this country by telling him that, you know, this is the white man's fault. Marching was cool in the 60s and what have you, but now I just don't think that marching is having any effect. Well, is a bunch of people come outside and march? I mean, does it change anything? No. It doesn't change anything. See, the problem, you know, we're perpetrating this fraud on our people when we happen to believe that it's white man's fault for everything. I mean, is it the white man's fault sometimes? Sure. Because the white man is in charge of everything. But you don't let that stop you. And folks who are writing books and host radio shows and are on television and are perpetuating this nonsense on black folks by keeping them in bondage and making them believe that it's white man's fault that you're where you are. You know, we need more money for schools. I saw a brother, K-Civilized, a brother that I know with the Brothers Organization in Paterson, New Jersey, who went to a meeting with the school's chancellor, well, not school chancellor, but the commissioner, the director, whatever he is, the school superintendent. And there were eight people there. Eight. How do you explain that? There were eight people there. You know, when you point your finger at somebody, three of those fingers are pointing back at you. And see, this is the problem is us. It's not necessarily the white man. I mean, yes, does he present a challenge to us in some cases? Sure. But the problem is us. Oh, it's the white man's fault. Oh, that means I don't have to do anything because that's it. You know, it's the white man's fault, so I just don't have to do anything. You see, these frauds are being perpetrated on black folks and so folks can write books and host radio shows and be on television and perpetuate this nonsense. We're not telling black people how to. We're not teaching people how to fish the way we're feeding them, without teaching them how to fish. We're feeding folks. Just nonsense. It's the black man's, white man's fault and all this stuff. It's the white man's fault there's a bunch of black people standing in front of the liquor store. Well, it's the white man's fault that me personally, I live in the northern New Jersey area. I live in a nice town. It's called Montclair, New Jersey. Very nice upscale town. I don't have to worry about anything around here, but when I leave here, when I go into places like Newark and East Orange and some of these other places, I got to keep my eyes peeled for my own people. Not an Indian person or a Sikh or a monk or a Catholic or a Protestant. I have to worry about my own people, my own black brothers that are, you know, would point a gun in my face and make me get out of my car that I earned. At a drop of a hat, would shoot me in the face, would kill me for my vehicle or anything else that I had on me. So I don't worry about the white man when I walk out the door. I mean, do we have police brutality and all that stuff? Sure, we do. No, I'm not worried about that. So we just fraud. You listen to some of these radio shows and people call in and all they do is blame. It's this, it's that, it's the other, it's, you know, and again, I conceive the point that there are some things we're kept out of. They can't keep us off the football field, though. They can't keep us off the basketball court, but there are lots of places that they can keep us, you know. There are some things that are going on, but we're not telling the people how to get past it. We're not telling people how to get through it. We're not encouraging people to try. We're just encouraging people to continue to perpetuate the same old nonsense about the white man and what he's done. You go in a black community, people getting killed left and right. Newark, New Jersey, for example, they had to stop the police from chasing cars. People carjacking and not even keeping the car. I mean, if you're going to take it from me, sell it, you know, send it overseas, do something, you know. But they take the car, they kill the person, the poor woman who was killed right here in Newark, New Jersey, left behind she crawled behind or she was left behind a Home Depot. 62 years old, they just came from church, killed by a black person who wanted her car. Now, what kind of car would a 62-year-old woman be driving? A Prius? A grandmother? And then we blame this stuff on Willie Lynch. And again, we just perpetuate the same old nonsense. We have these radio shows that come on. I'm not going to say the names of them, but there's some who are just unlistenable because of some of the nonsense that they're perpetuating. They talk. We need to start encouraging our people to do things. We need to start encouraging our people to find ways to get around some of these obstacles that are placed in front of us. And yes, there are some. But we need to start teaching folks how to navigate the system, how to get around some things, what they can do to help themselves. Because marching is, give me a break. So there are some folks, some black folks who have radio shows and television shows and making appearances everywhere. Every time something happens, they pop up. You know, but who's popping up in the black community when a black person gets killed? Who's popping up when the carjacker kills the person, a black carjacker kills another black person? Who's popping up for that? Nobody. Black Lives Matter only shows up when police when there's a police-involved shooting. Oh, here they come. But who's showing up when a black person kills another black person? Nobody. Who's marching through the streets when black-on-black crime takes place? When a black person gets killed? Nobody. Every woman say, you might as well start a T-shirt factory because, in the black community, because you sell a lot of T-shirts, this is what happened. They take a T-shirt, they write a person's name on it. You see these little memorials with candles and stuff all over the black community. Somebody got shot by another black person. You see the little memorials. They hang everybody signs the T-shirt. You put the candles there. And it only lasts for a few days, and then everybody just forgets. So we need to start teaching people how to break these chains that we're handcuffing ourselves with this nonsense. Handcuffing ourselves. So anyway, I want to thank everybody. We got about a minute and a half left to the program, so I want to thank you all for joining me. I don't know if I'm still on the air. It looks like something happened. I'm not sure. Blocked radio just blanked out for a second. I'm not sure. I'll listen to this a little later on and find out exactly what happened. I want to thank you all for joining me today. It's about a minute left to the program. I want to thank you for joining me here on the Ron Kelly Show. It's every Tuesday, 6 p.m. right here on blogtalkradio.com. Go to my Facebook page, The Ron Kelly Show. And on Twitter, it's R. Kelly Radio. R. Kelly Radio on Twitter. And on Instagram, it's Real R. Kelly 1. That's Real R. Kelly 1. All right, everybody. So I want to thank you so much for joining me. You can join me next Tuesday afternoon, 3 p.m. 6 p.m., I'm sorry. On new time, tell a friend, text somebody. Say, hey, Ron Kelly's on at 6 p.m. You can check me out at that time. All right, everybody, I'm going to break out of here. So thank you so much for joining me this afternoon. We'll see you back here for another edition of the Ron Kelly Show next Tuesday at 6 p.m. So until then, everybody, let's just be safe out there.